So talk a little bit more about that. What makes you say right now is that time? When did you get tipped off that you, when do you think this started? What has you say this? Like, what's your own personal evidence?
The world has ended, quite literally, of you getting the proverbial rug pulled out from underneath you. You know, you think your life is just being put together.
Right.
And also, swoosh, the life, what you thought, is now gone. And it's not even available to recreate or do over. It's just gone. And you're faced with a situation where it just seems insurmountable that you would ever get through it. Both, you know, grieving the loss of a young widow, and then also taking on a business that you know nothing about, and just having to be a scrapper from the onset. So, you know, and I don't think that my power was, you know, I just think it's an internal power that we have to dig in or to give up. And I guess I made the choice to not give up, which I've just started to realize is, you know, just having an intuitive nudge on something and then putting some literal steps behind it has really served me well. And I've come to really honor that, you know, and I guess I'm not sure how to articulate that, but my intuition, you know, and then you put some logic, has really served me both in my own work with my own business enterprises, and also with the work I do for other people, for other business owners in the groups that I facilitate, is you get into what it would be like to be them, you know, or it's fairly easy to get into their mindset, and from that point you can discover a lot of things together.
Right. So when you think about, I'm going backwards to what you were just talking about,
okay.
Where did you find your inspiration, you know, when the rug got pulled and all of that? Because I think it's one thing to hear you say it 14 years later, but I also know 14 years ago, just from my own experience with it, you know, there are those moments or days or hours or minutes, whatever they might be, where the grief is so profound, like you feel like you can't move, like you're in cement.
Yeah.
And you had a business to handle that was not in great shape. You had an industry you didn't know anything about. And like you said, all these dreams you had for your life as a young married woman just evaporated. And you had to watch him go, and you had to survive that. And then all of that, I mean, it's to me, when I think about that, I just go, how did you find inspiration? Where did it come from? I know you dig deep. I know you go inward. But I also, what were some of the external things, and how did you manage that?
Yeah. Often, and I appreciate that you're asking it again, because I haven't thought of it, you know, it's asked less now 14 years later than it was in the beginning.
Right.
And my answer always starts with, I can't answer that without talking about my faith and spiritual practices,
uh-huh.
You know, or my faith and spirituality, you know, the power of tapping into a higher power, whatever that is for that person. But I think that was the number one resource that I held tight and still do today of my spiritual path. You know, and that evolves for people over time too. It's definitely not the same definition as that I have now for what it is. So allowing that to be my base of, you know, the other part is, I guess it's just literal, you get into literal survival mode. And it's nothing but daily, you know, this sounds bleak, but I think it's good to you just honor that today the only thing I can do is get through the day.
Yeah.
You know, to wake up in the morning, pull myself out of bed, put my shoes on, go to work when all I felt like doing was finding a dark cave to hide in.
Right.
Go to work and figure out what I can for today. And then when I can't handle things anymore, I go home and I say, that's enough, because tomorrow is a new day. And so it's just like basic. of all, when you're going through such deep tragedy. And I think the key is, I should say, the key was really just doing it one more day. I remember being at a point where every day was like, my worst fear was that when I walked into the bank to make the deposit, that was the day that they were going to say no more. That the banker was going to call me in and say, we can't give you any more breaks.
Wow.
And give this a shot. And so I remember that first year, hoping someone else would go make a deposit or whatever, because I didn't have any answers. But I just thought, one more day. If the powers that be let me have a chance, just let me figure it out for one more day. But then I think I got to a tipping point that, back then it wasn't, I didn't think of it. It's how things are very profound, but you don't know it at the time when people say them.
Right.
I was meeting with my accountant every month, and I always tell the story of it. When you're meeting with your accountant every month, just know that things aren't that good in your business.
Right.
You have to have monthly meetings to figure things out. But I remember it was a summer day, and it was a beautiful summer day, and I saw none of it because the world was just so dark, or my life at that point was just so dark. So it was maybe 6 months later, and I went in for my monthly meeting, and it was the usual go through numbers. And what he realized was that I needed to learn our accounting, I needed to learn our books, it was such a fog. But I remember him, so I stopped in the middle of our meeting. Because we were going through the state of the state of our business. That was kind of the same as the month before. Not good. Red numbers. And I stopped him and I said, really what I just want to know is what would happen when this doesn't work out. Like, am I going to lose my house? Am I going to lose my car? Because everything was attached.
Yep.
And I think, and that's the point. I think that's I think everyone needs a minimal amount of certainty.
Yep.
So that they can pick themselves up. And what I needed to hear was that even if your business went under, that you were not going to lose your basic, state of living or whatever you want to call it. Like, you're not going to lose your basic means of survival. My house, my car, things like that.
Yep.
And so, from that point, when I knew that basic certainty that I had a roof over my head to go through my days, that really helped me put things into perspective. And so from that point, and then he said, so when we started talking about this, he said, this was his profoundness that I've always carried with me. He said, we're going to spend 10 minutes talking about a worst case scenario of if you have to file bankruptcy and close your business. And so we did. And then he said, and now I want you to go to work every day thinking about, because I was so focused on what am I going to do when this doesn't work, that, and then what he said was, I want you to go to work every morning and say, how am I going to make this work today? What am I going to do different to make this work? And that mindset shift changed everything for me. And I think it was literally, when I started looking at it through a different lens like that, a much more positive lens, I don't think that our red numbers lasted longer than a few more months.
Because I
could look at things very differently. And I would have to say the other part of that big, long answer is that you really figure out quickly who your true friends are and how important your family is. Because those are the people that are with you when things aren't very beautiful in your life. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of friends and acquaintances and everything. The world looks very different when things are going so great. Friends are plentiful and fun times are plentiful. And when the ball drops out of the bottom of your world, the people that really are your altruistic support system are still there. there, and everybody else is kind of on the outside. And I say that respectfully because yeah. that's just the way it works.
No, I think that's accurate. So, when do you draw upon that daily now? Do you think that impacts how you operate in your day in, day out these days?
Absolutely. To say that things don't ever bother me would be a mistruth. We still, you know, so I know how bad things can get, you know, and I guess that's my baseline. You know, but the beautiful part of a tragedy is you understand what a real issue and challenge
yeah,
is.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. You know, and so I use that as my baseline of how does this compare to what I've already been through? Mm-hmm. And I think, anyone that's been through anything like that, a dark time, you know, there's so many different things that happen to us in our lifetime. The nice, like, I really think it's a huge blessing, a huge gift, maybe is the right way to describe it, that I went through this tragedy so early in my life, because it shaped me for everything that followed.
Right.
From the last 14 years and into the future, because I, when you go through a tragedy so young, you really start to see the whole world through a different lens that nobody could possibly, until you've gone through it, you don't get those revelations for life. So absolutely it shaped me. And in some ways, it shaped me in ways that I wouldn't have ever invited, you know, or...
Can you articulate some of those?
Because of what happened. Sometimes, for example, a good example is I've become very self-aware. That doesn't mean that I'm always doing the right, it doesn't mean that I'm always doing things in a great state of self-awareness. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes I, go into old behaviors that don't serve myself or anyone around me. And that's just human nature or human behavior patterns. But in my self-awareness, what I've discovered, you know, because the person you love all of a sudden is gone, you get this sense of abandonment.
Right.
In some ways, that has shaped me in ways that I have learned to deal with, but I wouldn't say that part of my life is completely healed, or it's just something that I stay aware of, because I still have this internal concern or fear or whatever you want to call it, and it's not always a conscious thing, but I can tell in my behavior sometimes that, you know, like, for example, when someone's leaving on a vacation, there's a little part of me, usually unspoken, of like, ooh, I don't feel very comfortable with this, because what if they don't come back?
Wow.
And
that'll always be with you.
Still affects me.
Yeah, and it'll always be with you.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people live with that because I just think there's matters of the heart in life, and there's matters that we are in our head. You know, like business stuff is more, you know. I think it's hard to separate both, because if you really want to, you know, in my opinion, if you really want to excel or be excellent in your work, you're putting your heart and your passion into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the phrase "it's just business" is an interesting one, because when I've treated anything that I've done as just business or just a speech or just a session with, a one-on-one session with another business owner, if I did not put my heart and soul into it, I can tell you that I did not perform to my 100% capability.
Right.
You know, and they did not receive what they needed done either. So it's tough, because I think there is an interconnectedness. And sometimes, you know, so when we put our heart into something, we're going to get hurt, whether it's love or our work or whatever. And so embracing that hurt and then, you know, moving above it and hurt or rejection. rejection or, you know, whatever happens is the key. And some, you know, and then embracing when it doesn't go well and just sitting with, how could I have done it different, or what am I learning from this? That was a teachable moment, obviously.
Mm-hmm. What other things that you learned from that have shaped you? You said self-awareness. You talked about some of the concerns. You talked about how you put your heart into it and there's no division between self and business or personal and mm-hmm. business because you're there. Are there other things? I'm yeah. just trying to tease yeah. out. I think these are great lessons for people.
I'm writing them down just so I don't forget.
That's all right. That's good.
Okay. There's two big ones that come to my mind. Is first of all, I think you can be one of the biggest lessons that I learned going through that tragedy, and actually even before I knew the outcome of that, you know, my first husband was going to die. When we were sitting in the hospital for months on end, I remember staring out the window and wishing I could just be on, you know, like, wishing I could be in rush hour, you know, because I could see the, I could see the bridge, you know, of 94 going over the Mississippi and the cities and stuff. And so I was basically watching the world happen without me.
Right.
You know, and just wishing I could participate. And but when you have, so I was trying to find a way to keep both of us, my late husband and myself, positive as we sat in the hospital month after month, because we were there for about 2.5 or 3 months. And there was one day that I just said, there's not many times that you're plucked out of your life and that you can look at it from the outside and uh-huh. make it different when you get to re-enter. Uh-huh. So let's just use this as an opportunity to do that. And what we decided collectively that I still carry with me now is what we realized as young professionals is that it really doesn't pay to work your whole life away.
Right.
For what? You know, and I say that with a lot of respect because I love to work. Work motivates me, and I'm very grateful for what work has provided me. So I say that with a lot of respect, but I think that, you know, I guess I've based my whole business around that now, is that when it's 5 o'clock at night, please go home. You know, most everything can wait till the next day, because it's not all about just work and success, because when that is ripped away from you, you need to really look in the mirror and see what else you have left then. And sometimes that doesn't leave a lot if that was your only focus. And that's definitely everybody's decision for their own life. But the most beautiful things in life have come to me outside of you know, work. The most, you know, lovely and beautiful experiences. And I just think we sometimes miss out because we're going for the next golden nugget. And I do think that we can have a little bit more, balance is kind of an overused word, but I mean, it's our decision what we want for the balance in our life, you know, and that's, you know, is balance a myth? I'm not sure, but I constantly reshape so that I do have a life outside of work too. And that was like our commitment to each other, is that we can be very, very successful and not work our life away and sacrifice our family, our friends, experiences. But it's a constant awareness that it takes to do that, because we are so drawn sometimes to the extra money or the extra work or whatever, mm-hmm. the extra success, whatever that might mean. So that's one of them. And the other thing, big thing is that sometimes when things like this happen, you are asked to do what you once thought was unthinkable. And because it's part of your, the universe or God or whatever, it's part of your path or your journey in life, and it's those things or to those what the universe or the world is requesting of you when you thought at one point that would be a never for your life. And for me, you know, first of all, that was taking over the business, but there was, you know, one big thing that I thought would be a never in my life or the unthinkable was speaking in front of groups. You know, like, I was a fairly decent student in school and in college, but speaking was just never... I was fine with a C in those classes because I just was so uncomfortable in front of a group of people. But mm-hmm. then the world changes you or life circumstances change you and people start asking you to do certain things
yeah.
where your first inclination is to say no, but really for your life path, the best thing you can do is to say yes, even though it scares you to death to do it. And that, you know, and so... you know, so I started on a speaking, you know, speaking because I was asked to, you know, and it, a lot of it, you know, led to speaking to business and leadership and all of those types of groups because people wanted to know, you know, back in the days when we were going through the 2008 recession and so on, how did you turn your business around in the midst of such tragic times? And so when you can, you know, get over your fear and just say yes, you know, my goal for the rest of my life is to give back so that maybe someone else's path can be a little easier than mine. And if that means that I speak in front of a group to ignite their fire of what they could do for their own business or for their own life, then I'm going to do that. But that doesn't mean that I don't get a little bit anxious before, you know, I go on the stage. Or,
right.
That there's a part of me that when driving to that location or whatever... or the night before says, what am I doing? You know, someone else could do a better job than me. All of those things that go through your head, or my life would be easier if I wouldn't say yes to these things. But sometimes you're being pulled in a direction that makes you uncomfortable, and you'll get comfortable the more you say yes to what it is you can do.
I love that.
Yeah.
So how do you measure success these days? Were you go ahead if you were going into another one.
No, that's enough. how do I measure success
that's enough.
These days?
Yeah.
So a few different ways. You know, first of all, how do I feel as a collective about my life? You know, the word happiness is kind of an overused thing, and it's sometimes elusive, too. But am I feeling contented? Am I feeling peaceful in my relationships? Is my, and most definitely with my, you know, with the professional side of my life is, am I moving the needle forward in my business for my community, for my employees, for the mission, you know, that we have with our business, you know, to make every customer more profitable, you know, for my customers overall. You know, so like in a collective, am I moving forward? And that's a different definition, a different definition in every area of my life.
Right.
And then success also means not working 80 hours a week to feel like I'm successful. And that's easier now than it was many years ago. One of my favorite books is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And I read it very early on after, after I started at Accenture. And it really, really helped me because I think... Yeah, the world has trained us that if you're not working all the time or working, that you're not contributing the way you should. Or that's the kind of the guilt that we get on the inside of, in my opinion, way more important than your next paycheck.
Right. How do you know when it's lasting too long? Can you just tell intuitively or is it an outside influence? How do you know?
You can can tell by the level of stress you're carrying around, the level of, I would say the best way that I can tell is by being by myself. You know, like I try to spend time every day alone, and I start my day every day. I start with at least a half an hour or more, just thinking about certain things. You know, and I've actually just started meditation a few months ago. That's really helped. But I think the more self-aware we are, you'll be able to tell that much sooner.
Uh-huh.
But I do think it's something that you really have to feel it in yourself. Maybe it's my, one thing that I has served me very well, like I've said before, is my intuitive abilities to work with people and even think through like different strategies for work that might be unusual and things. But if we take even 5 or 10 minutes to just really think about how we're feeling physically first, mm-hmm. I mean, our physical body will tell us.
I agree.
Much.
Totally.
So that's your first clue. And then when things just, it's kind of, a good definition that I keep in my mind is force versus flow. Sometimes we force things to happen so much, and then it all falls apart anyway. Mm-hmm. And if you just, so it still takes work and dedication, but there's a lot of things that if you're just in the flow more than you're forcing, it just turns out so beautifully the way it should have in the beginning anyway. But I think we tend to be more in the force than the flow in a lot of times. So if we just take a collective step back, even for 5 or 10 minutes each morning before we start our day,
yep.
And say,
how did I want today to go? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What other practices do you have that you rely on? You've got meditation, you've got, this great reflection every morning. What else?
Taking care of number one. a lot of us are very outwardly focused.
Uh-huh.
And my focus is more external, on... Yeah, and, but even that I could afford that, because a lot of people in our world cannot.
Right, but you did the work.
That's not that much,
Yeah, but you did the work to do that, because you had to also, achieve enough to even be eligible. It isn't just affording it, it's all of it, and you did that work.
Yeah, right. But I'm certain you were speaking to the same thing. I'm just grateful for the circles that I'm able to be in.
Same.
Even in networking and stuff like that. It's just amazing. So thank you for being steadfast, because it means a lot to people even when they don't realize it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thanks for being one of the more gracious ones who always, always is appreciative, and I wish you the happiest new year.